Belinda Audio presents this unabridged recording of The Distant Hours, written by Kate Morton and read by Caroline Lee. It is moonless when the mudman comes. The knight has slipped on a pair of fine leather gloves, shaken a black sheet across the land. A ruse, a disguise, a sleeping spell, so that all beneath it slumbers sweet. Darkness, but not only, for there are nuances and degrees and textures to all things. Look, the rough wooliness of the huddled woods, the quilted stretch of fields, the smooth molasses moat. And yet, unless you are very unlucky, you won't have noticed that something moved where it should not. You are fortunate indeed, for there are none who see the mudman rise and live to tell the tale. There, see? The sleek black moat, the mud-soaked moat, lies flat no longer. A bubble has appeared, there in the widest stretch, a heaving bubble, a quiver of tiny ripples, a suggestion. But you have looked away, and you were wise to do so. Such sights are not for the likes of you. We will turn our attention instead to the castle. For that way, also something stirs. High up in the tower, watch and you will see. A young girl tosses back her covers. She has been put to bed hours before. In a nearby chamber, her nurse snores softly, dreaming of soap and lilies and tall glasses of warm, fresh milk. But something has woken the girl. She sits up furtively, sidles across the clean white sheet, and places her feet one beside the other, two pale, narrow blocks on the wooden floor. There is no moon to look at or to see by, and yet she is drawn to the window. The stippled glass is cold. She can feel the night-frosted air shimmering as she climbs atop the bookcase, sits above the row of discarded childhood favourites, victims of her rush to grow up and away. She tucks her nightdress round the tops of her pale legs and rests her cheek in the cup where one white knee meets the other. The world is out there, people moving about in it like clockwork dolls. Someday soon she plans to see it for herself, for this castle might have locks on all the doors and bars against the windows, but that is to keep the other thing out, and not to keep her in. The other thing. She has heard stories about him. He is a story. A tale from long ago, the bars and locks, vestiges of a time when people believed such things. Rumours about monsters in moats who lay in wait to prey upon fair maidens. A man to whom an ancient wrong was done, who seeks revenge against his loss, time and time again. But the young girl, who would frown to hear herself described that way, is no longer bothered by childhood monsters and fairy tales. She is restless. She is modern and grown up and hungers for escape. This window, this castle, has ceased to be enough. And yet for the time being, it is all she has. And thus she gazes glumly through the glass. Out there, beyond, in the folded crease between the hills, the village is falling to drowsy sleep. A dull and distant train, the last of the night, signals its arrival. A lonely call that goes unanswered. And the porter, in a stiff cloth hat, stumbles out to raise the signal. In the nearby woods, a poacher eyes his shot and dreams of getting home to bed, while on the outskirts of the village, in a cottage with peeling paint, a newborn baby cries. Perfectly ordinary events in a world where all makes sense. Where things are seen when they are there, missed when they are not. A world quite unlike the one in which the girl has woken to find herself. For down below, nearer than the girl has thought to look, something is happening.